It's one thing to scare people and say, well, if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to hell. Does that work? I've never seen it work. Sharing the gospel. And again, we're strengthening our core. So one of the things that we have as a core belief is that we are required to share the gospel. That's not something we want to keep to ourselves. So everybody's probably seen this passage many, many times, but we're going to take a quick look at it again and talk about what Jesus asked us to do. So in that passage it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples and of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" So a couple of weeks ago when I last taught, we talked about judgment and that there's a day of judgment coming, and that judgment is going to be final. Jesus is going to be the judge. He's going to decide on that day where you go, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. And of course, we don't want anybody to be sent to hell. And Jesus doesn't want that to happen either. So, you know, part of sharing the gospel, this command that Jesus gave to share the gospel, is because he doesn't want to see any of his children go to hell. He wants them all to be with him in heaven. So it's important that they understand, that everybody understands what the gospel is, and that they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, so that their judgment will be very, very positive, not negative. Okay, so keep that in mind as a motivator, if you will, for evangelizing. We don't want anybody to be sent to hell. We want everybody to go to heaven. So it's our job to help them get there, right? All right, so we'll move on. Why do you think Jesus told us to share the gospel message? All right, well, see, he commanded us to do that, and we want to share that with him. Let's see, Stacy's got the mic, so if you want to make a comment, just raise your hand and he'll bring the mic to you. Jerry's got his hand up here, Stacy. Right here, Jerry.
Thank you. Well, God doesn't want to lose anyone.
That's
he
right.
wants all to be saved.
Absolutely, he does. So, you know, that is a great motivator for why we want to share the gospel. All right, so this command to evangelize This command to evangelize is something that Jesus asked us to do. And so he was talking to the disciples when he made these statements. You know, the disciples that have been with him for 3 years, they've been somebody that relies on him totally. And so as he's leaving, getting ready to ascend into heaven, he's telling them, make more disciples. And so, who's a disciple in here, by the way? Okay, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. Who's a disciple in here? All right, now we got hands going up. Good. So, you know, this command that Jesus gave to be disciples is something that, you know, that we are also responsible for. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus, then we also have to fulfill this command that Jesus gave us. All right. So why aren't we doing more evangelizing? Ron's got his hand up. Go ahead. We got some in the back. Hey, Debbie.
A lot of people are afraid to do it. They're afraid they'll say something wrong, and sometimes you can come up with some pretty good people that can hold their own.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, don't want to say the wrong thing. Ron, did you have your hand up? Okay. Okay.
Not only do people feel incapable of communicating the whole gospel, you know, and answering
right.
questions that might rise, I think Satan puts a little doubt in our hearts, and it's so much easier to say, well, I'll wait until later, and put things off or just make some excuse not to take the advantage of opportunities that really that show themselves.
Yeah.
It's just like prayers being answered. If you look for the if you look for the answer to the prayer that you prayed, you just might find it. I think everybody wants a friend. Everybody wants to be spoken to. So if you could approach it from the idea that I'm going to be a friend of that person and work my way into telling her about Jesus. You know?
Absolutely.
Him or her.
Sure. So I think you're hitting on the same points that I was thinking about too. And this is not by any reason the only reason why you would be able to challenge with this, but I don't know what to say, and I fear rejection by the people that I care about. And so if you're filling out your handout, that word rejection there is the missing word. Bob's got his hand up over here. And these are two very common concerns that people have. It's easy to talk yourself out of saying something to other people because you're saying, well, you know, I don't know as much as Neil Farr. You know, I'm not really prepared to talk to somebody. Or, you know, they're going to reject me as a friend or even as a family member. And that does happen, I have to admit. You know, it does happen. Yeah, Bob?
In my travels over the decades, many people are searching for something.
Yeah.
Now, we have to figure out a way to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'll probably get some pushback on this one. It's very difficult to communicate with somebody. At the grocery store, is all you do is text.
Yeah. If your head's down
very,
in the,
very difficult.
Like this, yeah.
Now, I'll just use myself as an example. Every chance I get, I wear my Vietnam hat. And the reason I wear it is not to draw attention to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I get more comments on thank you for your service.
Right.
But here's the key. It opens the door to communication.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
And it's amazing how much communication can take place just at the grocery store. Maybe you have a spare hour waiting on your car to be repaired. Many, many opportunities. So the other key to the whole deal is you must be ready for that opportunity.
Sure.
If you're not ready to give your speech, whatever that technique is, then you're just not gonna, it's difficult to win that person over.
That's perfect.
And maybe lead to a Bible study.
Yeah.
Whatever avenue you go down.
Yeah, and that's really what we're going to be talking about today is how do we get that conversation going and what do we say to that person to try to help reach them for Christ. So it's very common, like I said, to say, I don't know what to say. And some people feel like, well, I need to give them a gospel lesson. And I'm not prepared to do a gospel lesson. No, that's really not the starting point for a discussion about Jesus. You know, you don't have to just launch into the five reasons or the five steps to becoming baptized. You know, you can start in a different place and hopefully get to that place. And then fearing rejection. You know, nobody wants to lose friends. Nobody wants to lose a family member. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, going back to our comment about judgment a few minutes ago, that there was, got a hand up here, Ray. So, we don't really want them to go to hell, right? So the question is, you have to ask yourself, this sounds a little harsh, but I'll just say it anyway. You know, do you want to worry about losing a friend or you want to worry about losing them to hell? And I think that's a good motivator to say, I should say something. Go ahead.
You know, in this day and age of cancel culture and probably throughout history, we see it even in the Bible times and stuff that we're told about. It goes even one step further than rejection. It's destruction. So it seems like when you speak up for the truth, mm-hmm. you need to be prepared, need to be ready and prepared for the consequences that could come from that.
Sure.
Because there's going to be some people out there that will not only just shun you and reject you and not want to deal with you, but they'll actively try to destroy you, your career, things of that nature.
Yeah. That's scary stuff, isn't it? So, I mean, there's legitimate reasons why we don't, but there's also legitimate reasons to do it. Go ahead, Ray.
On the same passage when he was talking to the disciples, he was saying that when they're brought up to a challenge, but he was talking about when they were going to court, but when you're brought up to a challenge, the Lord will provide something for you to say.
Right.
And I think this happens when we're just with people and they ask us, or we in bottom church, but he'll provide something for you to say to help lead them to Christ.
Absolutely. I think that's true. And so I want us to think a little bit more about this and have some more interaction here. You know, what advice do you have to address these two fears? So I'm gonna start you off with a few ideas and then let you all fill in the gap. So, you know, first thing I think you need to do if you're gonna talk to somebody about Jesus is you need to pray. You know, to Ray's point, the idea that you want God to give you the words, absolutely, right? Pray to God about that before you get started, that those words would come. And then start just with a regular conversation and start to listen to what they're telling you. You know, what are their concerns? What's their situation? Is there anything there that you could say, I bet God could help with that? You know, that's something you need to try to pick up on. Not that you're doing it without a legitimate concern for them, but you do need to be listening for that and use that as a starting point to have a conversation. And the other thing is you need to make sure they know, whether you say it outright or just through your actions, that you love them and care for them. You know, you don't want this coming across as, I'm preaching to you, but I love you, I care for you, I want the best for you, I want you to have an eternal home in heaven, and that this is the reason why we're doing this. And then finally, in your lead up, is to make sure that you're humble. Admit you don't know all the answers. You're not Jesus, you're not God. That you need to have help too. So, you know, I'm going to be God's instrument here, but I don't know all the answers. Yes, Lupi.
So my go-to is when you go around and you're out in public, you can see in the faces of people they're distressed and they need a little uplifting. Mm-hmm. So I always pray for God to empower me with the Holy Spirit that I may be able to think and say and do the things that are pleasing to Him. That are pleasing to Him, that strengthens me, and it gives me the courage to walk up to a complete stranger and ask them if I can pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And very few times do I get a rejection.
Yeah.
Because you can go around and you can feel it. You can see it in their face.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my go-to.
Yeah. You're an inspiration. Yes. Comment there. Yeah. Well, the people online need to hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As far as for me, I think sometimes it's easier just trying to develop a relationship with people.
Yes.
Being yourself, being who you really are. I think we look at a lot of the things around us and we try to be what we see, but that may not be our gift or our strength. So we have to figure out how God wants to use us in that way.
Yep.
And then use that as a way of opening doors. But I believe that building those relationships, starting by just having that same conversation, saying good morning, getting to know people, and then you can better determine ways that you can better help and praying to God to show you ways that you can help out with others.
Yeah. All right. So, and that kind of speaks to what we mentioned just a minute ago, is that, you know, you can't really have a good conversation with somebody usually until they know that you care about them. And you've built up that relationship. So that's an excellent point. Well, what would you do next? You've had a conversation going with them. You've prayed to God for wisdom. You've told them you don't have all the answers, but you want to be able to be there for them. What are some other things that you could do following that? That they've told you something that's going on in their life that they're having a little struggle with. What else could you say? Where would you go with that? Well, for me, I think one of the things is to give a biblical example of where the Lord dealt with that, or one of the disciples dealt with that situation in their life. And you may not have all of the answers to that either, but I've got a little handy table in your handout that talks to If they say this, here's what God says, and then here's what the scripture is that backs that up. So they're good conversation starters to be able to address their current situation. And of course, this table doesn't cover every situation. I know that, and you know that too. But it's a good way to get the conversation started if they're saying, well, I'm feeling lost. You know, oh, okay. Well, here's what God has to say about that. You know, you don't have to be lost. And so there's good starters, I guess, with that. And then you want to, I see a hand going up, but then I don't see any people. Yeah, there's. Yes, Craig. There you go. Up in the booth. Do you have a microphone? All right, while you're figuring that out, watch for those verbal cues. You know, are they interested in what you're saying, or are they getting a little irritated? You know, if they're starting to get a little irritated, you know, maybe you want to, you know, pull back a little bit. And then if they see like they're encouraged, then keep going. Craig, you got your mic?
Yes.
Okay.
You can ask people, do you mind if I pray with you? When they tell you about their situation, do you mind if I say a prayer? And
yeah.
Sometimes people will say, okay, and that's a conversation starter.
That is. That's great. So I think that's a great thing to do. I mean, offering to pray for somebody shouldn't be offensive in any way. But I have tried that before, and people said, no, thank you. They weren't unhappy with me, but they didn't really want to be prayed with. So that's okay. It's just you made the offer, and that's what's important. We want God to be glorified by giving it an effort, and it doesn't necessarily have to be successful. Yes, Ron?
Paul told Timothy to study to show himself approved to God. So there's a certain attitude or an attitude of confidence mm-hmm. that you need to exude, if you will, while you're approaching people. If you approach them like, I might know something about this or I might not, you know, you're not going to impress them very much. So
yeah.
there's just a little verse that you could remember that it would help give you that confidence, maybe.
Right.
Being approved by God because you're studying His Word.
Exactly. Craig's hand is up again.
John, I've had people say, sure, go ahead. Pray.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely. I hope I didn't give the impression that it doesn't work. But I'm just saying it may or it may not, and that's okay either way. So just quickly, the rest of these bullets is to proceed gently and be prepared to stop. If you push too hard, they may not ever give you another opportunity. So if they're not ready for it, then you can come back another day and have another conversation. And make sure you end your conversation with them with an affirming love. Let them know that you care about them and be humble in your thanks to them. And then finally, repeat. You know, have another conversation. Don't let it drop there. Don't just give up because it didn't work the first time. So what messages can we offer the world because of Jesus? There's probably a number of messages that we can say that here's what the benefits are of having a relationship with Jesus. Anybody have any benefits? Because yeah, and as you're thinking about that and getting ready to raise your hand, it's one thing to scare people and say, well, if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to hell. Does that work? I've never seen it work. So what we really want to do when we're starting a conversation, I mean, it's true, you know, if they're not following Jesus, that they're going to be going to hell. But that's not going to win anybody over on the first conversation. What's going to win them over is, what is the benefit of being in a relationship with Jesus? And so there's many benefits, and you know, salvation, of course, being top of mind there, that we want them to be saved, we want them to experience the grace and the mercy of God. But there's other messages too that in some ways might be a little bit more timely for today. And one of those messages is the peace of God, one is the presence of God, and one is the love of God. So I'm going to jump into the presence of God, and I'm going to say specifically the fact that there is a presence of God in your life can be a really good cure for loneliness. You know, there, how many people are lonely in this world? There's a bunch. So I looked up some stuff on the internet and ran across this study from Harvard that had some interesting findings, and you can see that up on the screen. It's kind of alarming that so many people are feeling lonely most of the time or all of the time. And that, you know, surprising to me at least, maybe not to you, but the young people are struggling with this even more than the older folks like myself. You know, a lot of young people are feeling lonely, particularly the ones that are 18 to 25. And then another interesting statistic there is mothers with young children. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, their time is just completely consumed with their child. And so, you know, the lack of interaction can be really debilitating. 51% of young mothers are feeling lonely. And so you can see the rest of those statistics there. It's a problem. And you might say, well, that's just pandemic stuff. But if you look at this chart, what it shows, this is another study that was done by the Surgeon General. It shows that the amount of hours spent with someone significant in your life has gone down by about half since 2003. And that statistic runs through 2019, which is pre-pandemic. And you can see there the last part of that line, it just plummeted when pandemic hit. And guess what? It hasn't come back up to where it was pre-pandemic. You know, the later statistics show that that has really just continued to be very low. People have resorted to online communications more so than in person. Yes, Debbie?
Well, we have, well, everybody knows that we bring the children to school, to church, right. But we don't bring their mom and dad. Now, one is Catholic, and our son isn't, and he was raised this way, and we pray for him all the time, or at least I'm better at it than Bill is, but it's just sad.
Yeah.
And but we don't give up. And this day and age, people better be, and I'm talking to myself too, we better get it going, because it's going to be tough out in this old world before long, and it already is. And you hate to lose all the young people, and, you know,
right.
Hopefully us people that have been around. But I tell you, I think Satan is at our back door too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to be really, and I keep thinking, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, I do want to make it clear, this lesson is not intended to make you feel guilty. You know, we can all do better. I understand that. You understand that. We want to do better. Let's do better. Let's don't just talk about doing better, but let's actually do it. But I don't want you to go out of this room feeling very discouraged and think, man, I'm terrible. I don't do enough. That's not the message. The message is, today's a new day. Let's get after it. Yep. Bill?
Satan has only one plan. He's had that plan since, you know, Adam and Eve, and he's deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants to do. He wants to put doubt in your mind, and he wants to put things in front of you that will allow you to go in that direction instead of the direction of going to church. He puts obstacles in your way so that you have to make the decision, and the decisions a lot of times is, you know, you go the other direction.
Yeah.
And just look at the statistics that we have in the last 30 to 50 years.
Yep.
Of even separations from homes or not going to church. We are living in a era now that we have young people that know more about Mickey Mouse than they do Jesus Christ.
That's true. That's true. And so, you know, we don't want to be bashful about bringing up Jesus. And you may be surprised to find that a lot of people do know about Jesus, and they want to know more, but they just don't want to come here. They don't want to come into the building because they've had a negative experience or because they have a preconceived notion about what coming into the building is all about. So, you know, we can't expect to always be able to draw them into our building. We need to be able to draw them into Jesus where they are. Yes.
I think that that's a really good point. In my experience in talking to people, 90% of them don't want to come to church because of an experience that they've had with an right. individual in the past. And I think that we go really hard on reading our Bibles and praying, but we're not always nice. We're not just good people out in the world. And a lot of the times, that's all it really takes is holding that door open an extra second, being nice, being, you know, just a regular person, treating people right.
Yeah.
I think it was either Miss Nancy or Neil that I heard it from, but sometimes you don't have to preach a sermon to let people know that you're a Christian or to spread the word. Sometimes you just have to be nice to people. And I think we've gotten so far away from just being genuinely nice and caring about people, especially in today's world, everything is about self and my beliefs and my feelings, and we don't think about each other anymore. We're mm-hmm. not doing things for each other anymore. So we have to remember that more than just reading and praying, we gotta be nice people. We have to show that in our lives so that people understand that it's more than just words that we're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're living a sermon. You're not preaching a sermon. So I do want to read this passage for you in John chapter 14. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. Was there a comment over here? Okay, hey, Paul.
There was probably 5 years or more ago, maybe even longer than that. We all went to a place after service for lunch, and I got seated with a couple that was visiting. And they were looking, they must have been looking for something. Mm-hmm. Because they came to church. But I think I was the wrong one. Because they kept bouncing ideas off of me
mm-hmm.
that led me to have to comment on. Because I've never wanted to be someone who just sat there and said, It's like lying to me.
Yeah,
you and I've seen a lot of people that yeah. do that. They don't want to, they won't speak up and confront an erroneous idea, you know. That, mm-hmm. So they, by just going, they're condoning it, is the way I feel. It's not like they weren't, I mean, they won't step up to the challenge or something of saying the truth.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to sit there and just go, and rubber stamp everything they were saying. Like a lot of times when someone says, well, I'm a blank, okay, we'll uh-huh. put this cross there, fill in the blank, you know, and I want to say back, well, if you're not attending and you're not worshiping, are you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you started out that way as a child, your parents assigned you that, but are you a worshiping and going to church that, you know?
Yeah.
And and then another that when they say, well, I don't feel like I need to go to church because we can go to some place and commune with God somewhere, just us and
yeah, at the lake
in this
or
solitude,
the beach.
You know. Yeah. And I'm going, but do you believe in the Bible as the Word of God? It doesn't say that that's what you should do.
Yeah,
it says you should meet with the congregation on the first day of the week.
Yeah,
and they did that. So I said,
so having some of those scriptures handy that say, here's what the Bible says.
Well, yeah, I was doing yeah. that, and it just was, I was the negative one, and they kept saying how they believed, and I was the wrong person because I wasn't very supportive of anything they had to say. I felt real
uneasy. Maybe you were just the right person.
I was real uneasy there because I thought, if we want to bring them into the church, I'd rather have them come and find out those things for themselves, rather than me being a downer, they didn't ever come yeah. back.
That's a tough situation for sure. And you know, it's there's and it's kind of like a no-win situation. You can't if you agree with them, then you're probably not making God happy.
I'm not being true to what right. I believe. And then
if you tell them the truth, they may be offended and they may go away.
Well, I think they were. They kept trying to find some common ground, or maybe they didn't try to find common ground. They just wanted to tell me what they believe.
Yeah.
And
I don't think you can ever go wrong by just saying, here's what the Bible says.
Well, I told them all the truth that I knew.
Maybe later on
and
they'll come
to understand.
And if
they wanted to argue part of my truth, that's fine with me. We could discuss it, but then I could talk about Scripture then. And there's no way to support it, you know, on their side. So I was a failure in with them as far as leading them to it. But they would have to have come back and grown to understand what was there. So, and the thing is, the question here that comes up, does God hear the prayers of a non-believer?
That's a different lesson.
I know, but you're talking to someone who is obviously a non-believer, and so does God, the only prayers I think God hears from a non-believer is, Lord, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
And I don't think he hears, would you take care of my wife or my dog or make life...
Well, I think the short answer to that question is that's God's decision. You know, it's God's decision if he wants to listen or not.
Well, I think Scripture will support that he doesn't hear it, you know? So...
All right, anyway. I did want to just mention this promise of presence that Jesus made to his disciples. And what you'll see, I've underlined several words in there about the promise of presence, that I'll be with you forever. I will be with you. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit will come to you. So there's a lot of promises in here that I've kind of summarized on this slide here, that Jesus makes all these promises to us and to his disciples, but by association, he's making them to us too, because we're also his disciples. So the Holy Spirit will be with you. I will not leave you. I am with you. I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that promise of presence is so powerful. You know, if you're feeling lonely, you can't always have somebody with you. Now, you know, if you're married, you can have somebody with you most of the time. If you're widowed, you know, the time that you have with other people is less. And so, you know, there's somebody that can be with you all the time, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells you when you are in Christ. And so you're never alone when you have the Holy Spirit. And that's the message that Jesus was trying to tell them. You know, if you can imagine being one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and you've lived with Jesus for 3 years, and you've basically, your whole life has been wrapped around this one guy. You've been following him, you've left everything to follow Jesus. And then he says one day, I'm leaving. I'm going away. That would be so devastating, wouldn't it? And so Jesus spends what we call 3 chapters of the book of John talking to them about what it's going to be like. And that even though he's going away, he's going to leave them with the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And so they're never going to really be alone. And that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will be with them forever. So they don't have to feel like their world is falling apart because they have the Holy Spirit. So that powerful promise of presence is very important to us. So, just mention, is that good news? Yeah. So this is something you can share. You know, if somebody's dealing with a loss, or if they're dealing with just general loneliness, or they've lost a friend, whatever it might be, you know, you can talk to them about, you know, Jesus dealt with that too. And here's what he had to say about it. And he has this system that was come up with from the very beginning of time that says, I'm going to be with you forever. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. So let's talk about some other things that might be worth sharing. So this presence, not only it deals with loneliness, but it also deals with anxiety, hopelessness, faithlessness, and fear. So if anybody's experiencing any of those 5 things or other things as well, If you can go to the presence of God and say, you know, God is with you. You know, God wants to be with you forever. And God will not leave you. He'll never forsake you. Just become one of his children and you'll have his constant presence in your life. So those are some things you could talk about. Another thing that a lot of people are dealing with is anxiety. You know anybody dealing with anxiety? You can even point to yourself if you want to and say, yeah, I know somebody dealing with anxiety. It's me. But God also has a promise of peace. And this is another promise that you can share with people that are dealing with a difficult time. And so the promise of peace is to say that God is going to bring you that peace through the relationship with Jesus. And so when we think about ordered lives and disordered lives, you know, most of the time if you're anxious, your life might be in disorder. And so you can go to this verse in 1 Corinthians and says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. So this is saying disorder and peace are opposites to each other. And so if your life is in disorder, you want to have the other extreme, which is peace, and that comes through God. Peace is not natural. It's supernatural. You ever heard that term before? Supernatural. That means that it doesn't just come naturally to you. It has to come from a higher place. And that higher place, of course, is God. So from the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, that same chapter that we just read from regarding the promise of presence, we also get the promise of peace. He says, all this I have spoken to you while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know anybody that's afraid? I mean, all of this kind of wraps up in the same message that being in a relationship with Christ can allow you to have his presence, and that presence gives you peace. And peace is such a fleeting thing right now for most people. And we want them to be able to have that peace that comes from God. So that promise of peace is part of the gospel message as well. In Acts chapter 10, it talks about, you know, the message God sent to this people of Israel, telling them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That is the message of Jesus Christ, is a message of peace. He came to bring peace to the world. It also brings a harvest of righteousness in James chapter 3. In peace, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So if you are somebody who is preaching or teaching or telling about the peace of Jesus, you need to be at peace yourself. You need to let that peace of Jesus rule in your heart as you're going into these conversations with other people. If they see that you're all anxious about everything, they're going to say, well, I thought you said Jesus brought peace. You know, you don't look too peaceful yourself. So you need to pray that you're experiencing God's peace as you're going through that discussion. So I just wanted to briefly talk about this because we're running a little bit late on time, that peace is a progression in your life. In order to have peace, first off, you need to have peace with God. Have you ever been in a kind of a difficult relationship before where everything is not peaceful? Well, if your relationship with God is not peaceful, if you're not following Him fully, then you probably don't have peace with God. And if you don't have peace with God, it's really difficult to have peace within yourself because you know there's a problem. You know there's a disconnect there. And so internally, you're dealing with some turmoil. And then if you're not at peace with yourself, it's hard to be at peace with others. It's going to be reflected in your relationships with other people that you're not really at peace with yourself. And so these things build on each other. And so I'm just going to briefly go through that progression and look at some verses here. So in Romans chapter 5, it says that therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where peace comes from. It doesn't come from ourselves, it comes from Jesus. And so we need to tap into that peace to be at peace with God. Because of Jesus' gift of salvation, we can have peace with God. He's bridged that gap for us so that we can be at peace. Likewise, peace with yourself. Can you be at peace with yourself when you're at odds with Jesus? Probably not. So you need to do a reset. So in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And get this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So giving it to Jesus allows you to experience that peace. Otherwise, you're not going to be at peace with yourself. And then peace with others, we're going to talk about here, is that there's really two things. There's peace within the church, and there's peace outside of the church. So with those in the church, there's a couple of verses there that are in your notes in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 that talk about having peace with our brothers and sisters. Have you ever been in a church where there wasn't peace between the church members? I have. It's very difficult for a church to be effective if we're at war with each other. And it's hard to attract people to come into your church if they sense hostility when they walk in the room, right? I don't see that here at all. I see love, I see acceptance, I see helping, caring. That's what we want to project, and that's real. That's not just a projection. And in Colossians 3, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful." So it's important for us to seek peace with each other, to put aside our differences, to try to work through what the Bible has to say about things, and to become unified. And then as far as peace with others outside of the church, you have a responsibility as a Christian to make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will ever see the Lord. So we have to modify our behavior to be able to show that peace to everybody else. Sometimes you have to, you know, bite your tongue for a few minutes and let things play out and then say what the Lord has to say about things. So, you know, don't always jump all over people, because that usually doesn't work. You have to be patient and you have to demonstrate peace. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's a pretty strong command, isn't it? So, again, when we're talking about people outside of the church, we need to make sure that we're trying to show them peace. And then, let's see. We have in your handout, and we have 2 minutes left, so we're not going to be able to really get to this. Oh, by the way, I forgot to click this. So, what does it take to live at peace with everyone? Humility and vulnerability. You need to be able to put aside your pride and say, I'm going to approach this with humility, and I'm going to allow myself to be vulnerable. I'm going to allow myself to, you know, I'm going to share something with you that may not be the most comfortable thing, so that you can see that this is genuine, this is from the heart. I'm telling you how this has affected me, and that takes a little bit of vulnerability. All right, so like I said, we have a role play exercise in your handout. We're not going to have time to do the role play. So what I'd ask you to do is to read through it. It's a role play about two men that are in their 30s that are talking to each other. They've been friends for a while. One's a Christian, one is not. They hang out together sometimes. And then, as it turns out, Bob is having a little bit of difficulty. He's feeling like something's missing in his life, and he wants to be able to deal with that. He's successful, but he's just feeling completely unfulfilled. And so the role play is about putting yourself in Ray's place, Ray being the Christian, and what can you do to help this person? Understanding where they are in their particular situation, how would you help them? So in your handout, again, you've got that role play, the third page, and it has some suggestions for what you could talk to them about. Here are some stories I can tell you out of the Bible that talk about somebody who was discontented and how they were corrected by Jesus. And so, again, in the interest of time, I won't be able to go through that, but read through it and see if you can kind of pull out a nugget there for yourself to how I could have a conversation with somebody about Jesus by meeting them where they are. That's the real key, is meet them where they are and let Jesus talk to them and suit their need. So with that, I'm going to say that we're probably going to have to stop. But I appreciate your attention today, and thank you for all your comments and questions, and we'll see you next week.